5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another hour of Tech Talk. It is I, Stephen Scott, back with you again. I've got Tim Schwartz from lifeafterblindness.com with me again this week. Hello to you, sir.
Hello to you, Stephen. How are you?
I am well. I'm well. I've got Robin Christofferson as well from AbilityNet. Hello to you.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
And this week we are going to talk about, you know, that thing that happened the other day. You know that thing that, yeah. Of course, we're talking about the Xiaomi new smartphone launch. Yes, absolutely. No, we're not talking about that. We're going to talk about Apple's new products, and we'll give you our views on all that. I'm sure you've heard lots about them, but, you know, we don't get a huge amount of conversations around accessibility of these products and what we should be looking at. So we'll get into that a bit later. Also, we're going to be joined shortly by Rubika from Uswitch, who is here to tell us all about his thoughts, and also to have a think about the best value products that you can buy. Because, you know, let's be frank, guys, even in the world of accessibility, Apple is not king. There are other products out there.
What?
Yeah, I know. Who knew? But immediately surprised that I'm saying that. But you all know how this will end.
Does your bank account know that?
Well, look, I will tell you what I bought later. I will tell you what I may have already pre-ordered.
It's a regular slot.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Can I just tell you, though, I bought this table coaster. I'm very excited about this table coaster.
Yes,
I'm highly, highly excited about it. But actually, I'm trying to sell it. I think I should buy about 1,000 of them and try and sell them off at a decent rate, because, you know, I think I could. But basically, this is one of these. You know, you get these non-spill mugs. You often get them in these, I wouldn't say novelty shops, but you know the shops that tend to come around at Christmas time, and you go in and they have all these kind of gadgets and gizmos. I think they're there all year, but nobody visits them during the year. They only ever go at Christmas. And in there you get things like non-spill mugs, non-spill cups. Now, Tim, it's fair to say you and I, we have a bit of a thing when it comes to spilling drinks.
We do have a bit of a thing with spilling drinks, and give me a non-spill mug and I'll show you how to make it spill. So
this is your challenge, then. Luck. You need to get one of these, because this, so what I like about this, because instead of buying the non-spill mug, right, and I know we're drifting off tech for a second, but to me this is important, because it affects our tech. Let's put it that way. If you spill tea or coffee all over your nice new keyboard, Tim, or, you know, all over something else, that's maybe your phone or your iPad or whatever, or laptop, then you've got a problem. So you want to avoid that. But what I find is that these non-spill mugs and cups or whatever it is, I find them quite annoying, because it means you've kind of, that's the only one you can use. And a lot of us maybe have a favorite mug, or we, you know, a specific mug that we use for whatever reason, could be a family thing, could be a part of the you know, crockery set you got or whatever. Well, this is a table coaster. So it's like a holder. It's like a coaster that you would put your drink on, but it's got a guard around it. And it suction cups itself to the desk. So in theory, it shouldn't move. Ever.
Yeah, I'll get one and we'll see about that.
Okay.
I will find a way, I'm sure, but I am intrigued.
I love
this
the
is
fact.
For slops, though, isn't it? As opposed to tipping the whole cup over.
Well, yeah.
Like, I mean, if you reach for it and you knock it by mistake, because I do that all the time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I slop over my coaster and a bit on the desk as well.
Well, that's you'll get the slops. That's a horrible word to use. But yes, I want to raise that.
It's like a horrific disease.
I know. It's like, you get the slops. Oh, can't speak to you again. But yeah, this does seem quite interesting.
I'd rather have COVID than that.
Kidding. One size fits all, apparently, and I love the fact that it calls the way the suction cup thing works anti-spill technology. There you go. It makes it into the technology box. There we go. It's got the word technology in it. And hey, guys,
full review next week.
Absolutely. Here's the other thing I got this week that I'm so excited about, just as I nearly spilled my water bottle. How hilarious would that have been? I've got a new mouse mat. No, it's not a mouse mat, because it's a mat for a keyboard and a mouse. This is so cool. It's huge.
Yeah, Is this the one you briefly mentioned last week that has a superhero on it? Or is this different?
It's got. Did I mention this last week?
I believe you briefly mentioned this because I was very excited about it.
My memory is going terribly. Well, I clearly I love it so much. I'm still excited by it because, yes, it does have the Batman logo on it. Batman is in my room. I'm a Batman guy. I'm not going to lie. I feel like I'm about to burst into song. But yeah, I love the Batman thing. So yes, this is lovely. I used the argument of it gives me acoustic something to mean that my voice doesn't reverberate as much, which means there's less echo in my room. But truthfully, I just wanted the Batman logo on a mouse mat, and I got
dampening.
One.
Yep. Yes. Can I be your sidekick?
You are Robin. There. Yes, that's right. You are Robin.
You are literally
Tim?
Robin.
Are you the Joker, Tim?
I'm the Joker. The Riddler.
Yeah. The Riddler. You're not going to be Catwoman. Let's be perfectly frank about that.
You know, I can see the appeal for you, though. You know, rich, entrepreneur who's dark and mysterious, who loves to just buy up all the best fancy tech. Yeah, I see.
Works, yeah.
I can see this. Yeah.
The only part, the problem is that I'd have to be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, which I think that was Superman, wasn't it? But, you know, I can't do that. So I'm not going to be out fighting crime. I'll just sit in my lair.
I'll definitely got a boring head. Can you be single bound at all?
No, not really. Yeah. Not recently. unless for the door when an Amazon parcel shows up, maybe. But that's kind of the height of it. Anyway, speaking of parcels, things we may be buying, things we might want. Yes, the Apple event did happen. And it finally happened on what was the date again?
That I have 14th.
I had it in my head it was the 14th, but I thought, I bet that's wrong. No, it was the 14th. And yeah, lots of interesting new products, new iPads, new iPhones, new Apple Watch. But yeah, we'll get into all of that in just a moment with Robin and Tim to get their takes on it and maybe perhaps what they may be buying. I will tell you what may or may not have ended up in my basket the other day. So we'll get into all that. But first, let's hear from Rubika from U-Switch, who's here to summarise the event for us and give us a sense of his take from a U-Switch perspective on the Apple event this September. Ru, great to have you here. So what was your feelings on this year's event then?
Well, I'd say it's a really interesting event, actually. It's something we kind of, as a brand like U-Switch, look forward to every year. And what we generally look for, the two main kind of metrics that we look for are the price in which the phone is priced at, and then try and overlay that with the kind of technology that Apple bring to the table, basically to then work out how valuable this phone is to consumers when they're looking to buy in the UK.
Now, a lot of commentators, including myself, are saying, there hasn't been a huge... Let's take the iPhone, for example. Let's just take that first. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been a huge amount of upgrades this year. From your perspective, is it value for money to get an iPhone 13 if you already have an iPhone 12 right now?
It all depends on the user, really. And I think if you just take that back a little bit, depending on how people buy kind of contracts in the UK as of today, they usually buy them on 24-month contracts. So I'd say rather than firstly start to begin to compare it with the iPhone 12, it'd probably be better to compare it with the iPhone 11 because the majority of those people would be coming out of their contract to buy this one because it's 24 months. In that case, I would say yes, it probably is a worthy upgrade because it's got 2 years worth of innovation that come into the handset. Form factor, basically meaning how the phone is designed, hasn't changed massively in that. I guess, speaking from Apple's eyes, you'd say how much do you want it to change? It's already a beautiful looking phone. But
yeah,
I guess, you know, as consumers always want something new, shiny and looking amazing, right? So, but compared to the 12, if we're going to fast forward a year, again, there hasn't been a massive amount of innovation coming into the phone. Of course, they've changed the processing power and added new chips into the device, which helps you kind of use it a lot faster, it becomes more efficient. Battery life has increased. And I know you had a discussion with my colleague Catherine about that last week about how important battery life is for you, UK consumers, which is interesting because that's probably changed over time. So it begs the question that, you know, where do handsets start to plateau at this stage? Like what will be important to a customer in 2 years time if this year's handset?
Well, that's it, isn't it? Because it comes to, you know, we feel we're very much in the evolutionary stage rather than revolution anymore. And I guess that is the question. Where else can it go? I mean, I think my take would be it's going to be a product category shift. We're going to see something new come into the space that is not a phone. And that is where we'll focus our attentions next. But at the moment, we do have the phones. We're kind of comparing apples with apples here. But what about alternative brands? I mean, how is this looking next to the Android options out there?
Yeah, so it's really interesting, actually. I don't know if you know that Xiaomi just announced their products today, the 11T and 11T Pro. A lot of people out there might not know that that's the biggest smartphone brand in Europe and second in the world at the moment.
Is it really?
It's massive. But ultimately, it depends on how people buy their devices. Now, everywhere else in the world, a lot of people buy their phone SIM-free and they just put a SIM card in it. Whereas the UK is predominantly subsidiary-based. We still buy our kind of phones on a contract over 24 months, and now there's even 36-month contracts. And in terms of the UK market, still very much dominated by the likes of Apple and Samsung. And they are the two giants for the UK market. And really, as you probably know from your show, when you're talking amongst yourselves, it's always an Android versus Apple kind of debate, isn't it?
Always.
And then always. And some will argue, Apple, all they're doing is just doing what Android were doing 4 years ago. But they were like, other people be like, but Apple does this and Apple does it this way and it's designed beautifully and it's part of an ecosystem, etc., etc. It's always going to be a battle and there's no really right answer to it. It's just kind of preference.
It is interesting though, isn't it, that Apple and Samsung are the two of the biggest names in the UK for sales, because of that subsidiary. I think if people had to buy their phones outright, it may shake things up a little bit. Why is Absolutely. That the case in this country? Do you know about that? I mean, why are we like that here? Why have we gone down this route as opposed to just buying the phones like everything else we buy off the shelf?
To be honest, I don't know the right answer for that, whether it's to do with kind of retail and how retail has a part to play in it, whether it's the price of the phones or if it's just a cultural norm that we've always bought our phones in that way and that's how the networks operate and that's how the networks talk to the manufacturers, which ultimately filters down to consumers at the end of the day and what people are just comfortable with doing. I mean, if you were to say to someone now, just go and spend £1,049, you know, for some people that's scary. It's just probably how we budget, you know, our lives with this particular product in mind.
Now, of course, they've brought out the watch as well. The biggest news there is the redesign. Talk us through that and what your feelings are on the new Apple Watch Series 7.
Yeah, I mean, from a personal perspective, I really like the design of the Apple Watch, and of course, they've not just changed it on the Apple kind of variants, but they've also done the Nike one slightly differently. They've done the Hermes one slightly differently. The screen actually curves round. It's a better looking watch. So from a design perspective, I don't think you can really go wrong on that front. One thing that people will obviously have a gripe about is, of course, it's a digital watch and not mechanical, and the battery life. Now, there's a lot of kind of power emitted from this device and it helps you day to day. A lot of people, I guess, would want some extra battery coming from the actual watch. And it does allow for wireless charging now, which is better. But, you know, again, you have to keep charging these smartwatches, don't you?
Yep, you do. And they do say it's an all-day battery life, but then that never really, I'm not really entirely sure what that means in reality, because it depends what you do with it. If you spent all day on the using it as a phone, then you wouldn't get all-day battery life. So, you know, it just depends on what you're actually doing with it. But I will say that there are still a number of Apple smartwatches out there that you can get that are cheaper. And again, it's not always about race to the bottom with price. You do want, people want to get sometimes the latest, greatest, and that's fine. But, you know, they do have cheaper options available. It's not all high cost.
Exactly. So Apple will, as with the Series 7 coming out, they'll have three smartwatches as a SKU. So you can actually buy the old series as well. I think the oldest ones they've got now is the Series 3. But again, it depends on your lifestyle, what you use it for, what your budget is. And I would say depending on that, it'd be good to go and research what you actually want out of the smartwatch, how often you'd use it, what you use it for. And then work out kind of what you want to spend on it. Yeah. Again, you're absolutely right. There's early adopters and they do just want the newest one straight away. But it, you know, it's always best to do a comparison. And I'm not just saying that with my user chat on, you know.
It's a good idea. No, it's kind of total sense. Yeah. I mean, I've got the Series 5 right now and I thought, right, yeah. I'll definitely get the 7. And then I watch the event and I'm thinking, do I actually want this? I mean, do I even need it? Is there anything in this that this watch I've got doesn't have?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
I think one of the newest things, I mean, if you ride a cycle and, you know, they have the updates to kind of e-bikes and you can type on your phone a little bit, on your watch a little bit better. I mean, there's, like you said, the changes that have been made are more on the vanity side of things with straps and stuff. Yes. and only the bezels on the screen. So it's not massively changed, but again, it's Apple kings of vanity, aren't they? And they're great at marketing. So that's how they draw people in. They make their product look great. And that's what gets people in.
Well, exactly. And they do function well. I mean, you can't deny that. They work well as well. So it's looks as well as substance as well, which is good. And the iPad mini. Now, I mean, they did bring out a new education iPad. I often call it that. And I know that's maybe unfair. Entry level, perhaps, is maybe a better way of putting it. And that's good, and a bit of an update there, but not much of a change. The iPad mini, though, got a complete redesign. About time, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Apple have obviously done their research on kind of what the iPad mini is used for, what people want it, or what type of person wants to use it. So it has kind of had a significant upgrade versus what it was before. But I guess the biggest story out of the iPad this year, not just the design of the mini, but the pricing of the entry-level iPad, which I think is really cool. And I think it's going to put a lot of iPads into people's hands. And I guess change the way people use tablets in the future. I mean, you've seen it, you probably go to restaurants and people are, you know, waiters and waitresses are taking orders on iPads now, and people are controlling their homes with iPads or tablets. It's really interesting to see kind of how many people are adopting second screens or sometimes third, even fourth screens.
It's incredible. So what's the best value for money, do you think, out of the events this year?
The best value? That's a really good question. Again, for me, my answer might be different to another consumer. I would say the iPad is probably the best value for money out of all the newest announcements anyway. And in terms of for the UK audience, the best value might not be from what's been announced, but maybe what might happen to the pricing on Apple's older products, on the iPhone 12, for example. You know, we've discussed kind of the evolutionary changes rather than the revolutionary changes on the 13 from the 12, but that ultimately means that the 12 is naturally going to drop in price, and that seems more valuable for people depending on their budget. So it really depends on what you need it for and what your budget is ultimately.
Well, people can always find out more about uSwitch by searching online for uSwitch, the letter U, Switch. Rue, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was Rue Bicker there talking to me. And yeah, it was really interesting to get Rue's take on all that. So, okay, Tim, let me come to you first. Robin, we'll get to you in a second. Okay, one word I want you to describe the event in. Just one word. What one would you pick? And remember, this is a family show.
Yawn. That's one word, right?
Okay, I'll allow that. Hang on, I'm just checking with the judges. Yeah, we'll allow that.
All right.
Okay, Robin, one word to describe this event from you.
Incremental.
Okay, I need to come up with a word now, don't I?
Am I stalling yours?
Yes, it's all on you. One word, Stephen.
Expensive.
For Stephen Scott.
Yeah, well, a little bit. Okay, well, we'll get into that in a second. What was your highlight, Tim? Or low light, if it's yawning. Okay, low light, highlight, you choose.
I don't know. I'm kind of still thinking about Kings of Vanity that Rue mentioned there. That's a great rock band name, I think. Kings of Vanity.
That's right, yeah.
That
what was the other one we heard during the event that we thought was a... What was it? Droplets on a Mushroom.
Yeah.
That could be the first single.
That's exactly. That's a perfect first single for Kings of Vanity. But no, the event itself, I mean, it was what you would expect. And I think Robin's word is spot on because it was incremental. If you had actually told me going in that this would be the S year, you know, when way back in the day when they had the 4S and the, you know, 6S, things like that, I wouldn't have... I mean, I would have been surprised to hear that going in, but by the end, I would have said, yeah, oh yeah, this is exactly an S year. Now, typically S years had something new, something different, something innovative that they were trying out for the next big model, and there wasn't really any of that. I mean, there's some cool things with the camera, with cinematic mode and things like that, but for the most part, this was just a lot of spec bumps, quite honestly. The graphics processing is, you know, much improved. The processors and 6 cores and how they're working and all that kind of technical stuff, you know, it is impressive. And I think I said this to you guys when it was over after we watched it. As a techie guy who loves the nitty-gritty of tech, I thought it was awesome. You know, it was great. The upgrades are fantastic. But as a consumer and someone who wants innovation and iteration and looking to possibly buy new products, I was thinking, as you said to Rue, Stephen, you know, my Apple Watch that I have, I'm comfortable with it and I don't think I need to go to a 7. I got the iPhone SE 2020 when it came out last year. And there are a couple things I wish it had that it doesn't, but I don't miss them. And so I don't know that I need to upgrade there either. So it's one of those things where if you're still on, say, the Apple Watch 3, or if you are still maybe on an iPhone 7 or 8 or even 10R at this point, then this could be very interesting to you to maybe want to get an upgrade. Or as Rue pointed out, get the products from last year and it may be a little bit of a reduced cost. Just depends on what your use case is. So for incremental upgrades and you know, processing and all that, it was fine. But overall, there was nothing brand new here that I just absolutely have to have.
More of a C year in that sense. We all remember the iPhone 5C, yes. Right?
Which the 5C.
The only redeeming feature it had was, I think it was in like 4 or 5 different colors.
Unapologetically plastic.
That's right.
And they did announce other colors this year, so it almost could be a C year, yeah.
Mm. C for...
We've definitely gone rainbow post Johnny Ive, so absolutely, yeah.
What did the C stand for? Does anybody know?
Color.
I always figured it was color.
Was it color? Well, there you go. That would apply then, wouldn't it?
See for color. Not officially, but yeah.
Okay, well, let's just say it was. Nobody can check these things. It's fine. Robin, what was your highlight, low light? You decide.
It was definitely incremental. And I think that maybe they just thought, okay, look, nobody likes the number 13. We're not going to call it 12S because that will just really, you know, everyone will say, yep, it's incremental. It's an S year, blah, blah, blah. I bet they thought, look, 13 isn't going to be a popular number. I think I heard somewhere or read somewhere that actually 13 is unlucky across the world in most countries in the world. So they probably thought, look, okay, what are we going to do here? Are we going to skip this number altogether? Or are we going to make it an S year, which we'll get told off for as well? Let's just make it a 13. And, you know, it's incremental. We know it's not going to be popular anyway. So let's just, you know, deal with it. So I reckon that they're going to be pinning all their hopes on next year. Obviously they've had issues with product shortages in components, etc. So maybe they are putting things off till next year that are going to be a little bit more innovative. I don't know. So that none of that might be true, but it felt like an S year, as Tim was saying. Mm-hmm. The main takeaway for me was the update, the very significant update to the iPad mini that you mentioned about. It feels like a pro, guys. It feels like a mini pro. It has Pencil 2 support. It's the new kind of square-sided format of the bigger pros, of the pros. It has nice stereo speakers, a really nice screen, etc., 5G. And on a different tech show, someone was saying that in the US, at least, where you've got things like Google Voice, where you can do all, you know, it can be your phone as well, basically, then that's a viable option. for a phone at a much cheaper cost, mm-hmm. and you get a really nice screen, probably still pocketable. So, and you've got all the productivity of iPad OS.
No one's pocketing an iPad mini. Come on. What kind of pockets do you people have?
Cargo pants.
Well, the problem is, if I was to do that, the cargo pants would fall down with the weight of this device in it. And also, you couldn't sit down either. No, I'm not entirely convinced about that. But I will say that I think that the perfect combination, and I did say this on the other show, is that I think that the combination of the iPhone mini and the iPad mini for a lot of us might be the best combination. Those of us who need an iPad, I'm not entirely convinced all blind people need an iPad. Low vision people, I think, could really benefit from it. But it's also important to say the dynamic, large dynamic type doesn't necessarily always show up or be respected in certain apps. So it's not as simple as, oh, well, you'll have everything in large text just because it's a larger screen. That's not always the case. So Facebook, for example, is not going to be any different on an iPad as it would be on an iPhone. So that's something to consider. So if you are buying it because you think you'll have better text size, that's a bad reason to buy it. But you know, I do think the combination of both is quite good. I have often thought the iPad mini is very much a leisure device, very much a, you know, sitting on the train those days, and I will be again very soon, in fact, on the train, you know, enjoying a nice journey, being able to enjoy some content. So I can see the iPad mini being good for that, especially if you have to hold the device close to your face for long periods of time, as we do. That's going to be, you know, I find that, you know, for watching. But if you're only listening to content via your phone, then you don't need an iPad, would be my take on it. But I do like this particular iteration.
Yeah, I've tried to use our iPad. We actually have two now. Our daughter has one. My wife has one. And I try to use it. I even tried to say, okay, this is the family iPad. And every time I've tried to use it, I just, being someone with no functional usable vision, I just go back to my iPhone. Mm-hmm. You know, the compact size and the ability to just do everything that I need to do in that one small rectangular size is so much easier actually for me than having it on this larger screen with the iPad. But like you say, if you do have, you know, vision at all or low vision, there is a benefit there. And so I do agree with you that, you know, the minis and you know, these smaller devices are fantastic for that purpose. But so, you know, I would say that the iPad mini was a surprise for me. I didn't expect that to happen. And I think that is probably the best take coming out of the event as far as hardware goes. Honestly, I think I told you guys this after the event. This tells you where I am with the event because of, you know, the upgradable ability or not of the devices. I was mostly excited about guided meditation and Fitness Plus. So, you know, okay. when I'm hearing, oh, guided meditations, I do those anyway. So yeah, fantastic. It's in Fitness Plus that I'm paying for it in a bundle anyway. So great. That kind of gives you an idea of where, if you're not in the market for upgrading, like I am, that's how the event went, I think, in a nutshell, is that's what made me excited because I'm not looking to upgrade. But again, if you are looking to upgrade, then this might have been more interesting.
Okay, we talked a lot about the iPad here, and obviously with Rue, we've talked about the iPhone and the Apple Watch. Do you want to know what I bought then? Do you want to hazard a guess as to what I've bought, based on what I've said already?
Is it a single item?
No.
Should we ask what you haven't bought?
Well, that would certainly be quicker.
It might be easier, yeah. You know what? Because I know you don't need an Apple Watch. It's hard to say because you've returned your SE. I don't know. I give up. I don't know.
So I've gone for the 13 Pro.
Oh, I should have known.
I will be honest. I was just thinking of getting a 12 Pro, but they stopped the 12 Pro. This is an interesting part of this. They stopped the 12 Pro, and I'll be honest, that would have probably done me. I wouldn't have needed to have a 13 Pro, but I did want the Pro.
Get the 13 Pro.
Well, I wanted the 13 Pro only because it has LiDAR in it. That's the only reason I wanted the 13 Pro. I've got the 12 Pro Max. I'm finding it just way too big for daily use. It's just, I mean, it's great in the house. It was fine during the pandemic when I got it. But, you know, now I'm back out again. I just think it's too big to carry about. And that's a 12 Pro Max, not an iPad that some people want to put in their pockets, guys.
Get some cargo pants.
Yeah, got them, but I'm not putting an iPad mini in them. But no, I just think the iPhone 13 might just be, or the Pro might be the sweet spot in terms of size. The mini I did like the mini, but I just felt with my fat fingers, the screen was just on the, you know, it was okay, but it, you know, I was always slipping my fingers off the side. The Pro, or even just the 13 standard size, is I think the sweet spot. So my wife's got one of those. I've spent a bit of time with that as well, just to try it. And yeah, I do find that's the most comfortable. The second thing I ordered was not a watch. You're right.
Yeah.
But only because, if I'm honest,
you can't order them yet.
But but here's the thing: I'm not probably going to, because, well, I say that. I mean, you know, once they come out, I'll go to the store. Yeah, I'll probably end up buying one. But the truth is, at the moment, here's the thing: I don't need one. I have no reason. Billy B on Twitter hit me up and he said, oh, Stephen, he says, you could take off all the bands off your Apple Watch that you don't wear, and you could buy a new Apple Watch and you could put those bands on the new Apple Watch you're not going to wear. And he's probably right. I mean, I don't use the Apple Watch enough as it is to justify buying a new one. But that doesn't stop me. And yes, I did order the iPad Mini. So moving on. Yeah, there we go.
What colour?
What did
is
I go
it starlight?
For?
Starlight.
No, I don't know what that is. What is starlight? Is there a colour?
It's like a light champagne, apparently.
Oof.
Almost silver. Oh,
glad I avoided that. No, I got the space grey, I think it was, or whatever they...
The professional.
Graphite, they called it, or I can't remember.
I would say how boring, but you are colourblind, so...
Exactly, who cares, right? Who cares? I even got the silver iMac,
and the use
so
case,
what does that tell you?
What's the use case after your earlier comments?
I think it's going to be a leisure device. That's my thing. It's going to be a leisure device. It's going to be that thing I'll grab at night to just maybe check. It tends to be when I go on places like, if I'm on Amazon or whatever, I'll go on and I'll use Speak Screen to read the information about a product. But you want to look at the pictures, right? So, you know, sometimes it's just difficult on an iPhone. You just can't get close enough to the image. So something like this, I do find, you know, as I've told you guys before, with my hand issues, with my hand tremor and all the rest that I have on my left hand, it can be difficult. I've got the iPad Pro 12.9-inch, which is just a beast of a machine, but it's also a beast to carry around. And, you know, holding that for long periods of time can be tricky. So... yeah, the iPad Mini is the sweet spot on that. But the previous version, just to me, wasn't powerful enough to do anything. This is clearly going to be better.
Yeah,
I just wish
they'd
stuck an M1 in it. You know, that would have made a lot more sense. Right, look, let's take a short break from talking Apple, because we're going to get into your emails shortly. But let's find out about some of the other news of the moment, courtesy of Sophie Ashford.
With Talking Tech, I'm Sophie Ashford. Mobile Network 3 are the latest provider to reintroduce data roaming charges between the UK and Europe. EU rules allow citizens to use their contracts' minutes, texts and data while roaming in member countries. However, the UK's post-Brexit trade deal did not include this. From May 2022, three customers who have taken out a new or upgraded contract after the 1st of October will have to pay £2 a day to use their phone services in the EU. Three's decision follows similar announcements from EE and Vodafone earlier this year. Mobile operators have also said they are under pressure from rising costs, including wholesale costs, which can be much higher for UK networks. In other tech news, Apple have issued a warning that powerful vibrations, such as those from motorcycles, can be damaging to their iPhones. The tech giant explained that their phone's optical image stabilization technology, which helps capture clear, sharp images, can be harmed by engine vibrations. Apple have therefore recommended that iPhones should not be attached to bikes for the purposes of navigation. And finally, Facebook has announced a partnership with Ray-Ban to roll out its long-rumoured smart glasses, which allow users to take and store photos. The technology, dubbed Ray-Ban Stories, was launched last week alongside a new app called Facebook View, which is needed to pair the device to download and share images and videos to a smartphone. Facebook have suggested that the glasses' 5-megapixel camera, while far below industry standard for most smartphones, will be used by professional photographers and casual social media alike. However, critics of the glasses believe that the technology, not unlike Snapchat's spectacles range, raises privacy concerns and fears of criminal usage. Facebook has countered these claims, highlighting several safety mechanisms in the glasses, such as an LED light to indicate when photos are being taken. So, will Facebook's smart glasses become a mainstay technology for users to take their photos in the future? Or is it destined only to be a fad? With Talking Tech, I'm Sophie Ashford.
Thank you, Sophie. Very interesting to hear Facebook coming out with these new glasses. But again, it comes back to this problem of privacy, however you want to pronounce that word, whatever way I do. Guaranteed it'll be wrong. But I wonder about this one, guys. Do we fear that? Because, you know, for us, a camera means, help with assistance like Be My Eyes or Aira, right? But for a lot of people, they just see it as an opportunity for, you know, odd people to, take pictures of things they probably shouldn't be taking pictures of. That's the problem, right? That's the general view.
I think the light will go a long way to allay people's fears, but privacy and price, I think, is going to mean that this isn't going to be a big winner.
£300.
Yeah. I hope, though, that we'll see loads more of these and that people will get over the concerns that they have. You know, we've got used to microphones listening to us all the time, some cameras in homes. I've got several that are connected to Echo devices that are constantly on. Mm. So
but that's in the house. That's not the room. Wandering around a street or a train station or near a beach where kids are. This is the problem, isn't it? Tim, I know you're a huge fan of the Bose frames. When you heard about this from Ray-Ban, this partnership between Ray-Ban and Facebook, what was your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts were, oh, thank goodness somebody's done it and been brave enough to put a camera in glasses. And then I dug deeper into the specs and how it's going to work. And it doesn't seem that it's going to be open enough to allow us to use it for something like Aira or Be My Eyes or some other type of navigation app or something like that, or identification apps. If it was open to where I could use it with other apps on my phone, then it could be interesting. And I might even be willing to drop £300 or $300 on it. However, it seems very proprietary, and I get it. And I think the comparison to to other glasses that we've seen, it's just, I don't know, I'm not as interested as I might have been if it wasn't so proprietary, because Facebook wants you to take photos and videos and put it to Facebook or to other social medias that they own. That's what it's for. And so it's just not intriguing enough. Now, if Amazon had brought this out and in true Amazon fashion, put it out at, 80 quid or something, like they find a way to do, and it was open to where you could use it with other things, then, yeah, I'd probably be all over this. But alas, no, still waiting on Apple to do it. Although, because of privacy, I don't think Apple will put a camera in any kind of future Apple Glass. And I think that's a shame, because like Robin said, I think a light on it is helpful to alert people that you are taking pictures or making videos. But people still are going to be concerned, even though there are cameras at every street corner and every building and every public space. There are already cameras that are already, taking videos or photos of us all the time.
But I think
people
are
taking pictures of scenery that you happen to be standing in. And
But I think the difference, though, with that kind of camera is you get the sense of there's some control behind the content on it, right? So if it's a security camera that's watching a building, or if it's a street camera that's observing, for any disturbances or whatever it might be, we've kind of got used to that. I mean, the UK is possibly one of the most spied on countries in the world in that sense. I mean, pretty much a street you can't walk down street in a major city anyway that doesn't have cameras all over it. And we seem to have kind of just got used to that. But it's the individual I think people have the issue with. I mean, I don't know. I'm interested to hear what our listeners have got to say about this. I mean, I think for us as blind people, it's just please give us this because we can really benefit from the tool for our needs. But the problem is that's never going to be a good enough reason for it to exist. A good example of that was a friend of mine who had an Orcam device, and he was in a train station, and he was using the Orcam to read the board on the train station to find out what his train, what the platform was that it was coming in on. And someone approached him and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, it's this camera. I use it to..." And he was explaining what the Orcam does, essentially. And the guy said, "Well, look, I'm not comfortable with you near my children." And he said, "Look," and he said, he takes the camera off and he says, "Look, honestly, it's not connected to anything." He had to explain how it wasn't doing, because the Orcam doesn't. It doesn't take images and store them anywhere. It just deletes them as soon as, because it's all on board. It doesn't even connect to the phone to transfer data. But that's the reality he was in. He was faced with that head on right off the bat. He was being you know, accused by someone of taking inappropriate images. If anything, he was taking inappropriate images of a departure board at a train station. But, you know, people don't know. And then, of course, you know, all the concerns that go with that. So, yeah, it's a really thorny issue that I think it's going to take us a long time to get through. But I take your point, Tim. I don't think Apple will do it. I think Apple will go down the LiDAR route, and it will use AR or AI to assess what's in front of it. And perhaps that might work better. Who knows? We'll find out. Interesting story, though. And yes, whatever you do, guys, if you just could avoid using your iPhone on a motorbike if you're on it, if you could just avoid that, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, let's just make sure we do that, okay? Let's follow that advice. Right, email. Time for this.
We get email. We get your email every day.
Bing bong.
Here's your mail today.
Email, 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 email. Read by robots.
The rise of the robots.
The rise of the robots starts right here on Tech Talk. Right, let's get into our first email today.
Hi, everyone from Tech Talk. I have just listened to your recent episode, and even though emails Andy has gone to pastures new, I would like the emails to be read by a human being rather than a robot, as I find that the artificial intelligence that you used to read out emails was too fast and some of the words did not sound fluent at all. I think that a human person could read it out clearer and at their regular pace in the way that emails Andy used to do. Keep up with the banter that you all do, as it is very amusing to listen to at times. From Shazad in Birmingham.
Do you know what I love about that? He says, at times. Yeah, at
keep
times.
It up, because it's amusing at times, yes.
Just want to, even the AI managed to get that inflection in there, which I thought was pretty nice. Yeah, it's interesting. How are you guys finding it? I think we've made a few adjustments this week, and we did last week as well, actually, to the emails and the voice we use. I think that's Graham, if I'm right in saying. I think that's Graham.
That sounds like Graham, yeah.
Yeah, so I like Graham. I mean, I must admit, I wouldn't want him reading a book to me, but he's good for the emails. Yeah.
This is a difficult one, because that was obviously nice and slow, so hopefully everyone will find that fine to listen to. But I find that it sounds more natural if it's actually a bit faster. So,
I'm the same, yeah. But I think that's partly because we listen to voice. We're so used to listening to voices faster. Yeah. It was interesting listening to it back a couple of weeks ago when we'd played it in, because listening to it in isolation, if you're using a screen reader as well, you're hearing such a... It's almost like watching an express train... 300 miles an hour, while you're on another express train going alongside it at 290 miles an hour. You know, it's like, it just looks kind of okay, right? It's like, whatever. Okay, well, there we go. We shall look forward to more of your comments on that. I'm sure lots of you have got comments on that specific thing that we do now. We do have the robots reading, but anyway, let's keep Graham on for now, as we get an email in from Greg with a response to some comments that Sean made when he was here. And I think, Sean just causes problems and leaves us all to mop it up. But yeah, let's hear what Greg's got to say this week.
Hello, Tech Talkers. Your text-to-speech voice makes me sound so much younger than I am or feel. Do you have a grumpy old man voice? In trying to help your listener who had a difficult time coming to grips with a smartphone, it was very disappointing to hear the response that blind people should simply learn the smartphone. We all have different abilities, and while the hosts of Tech Talk are all accomplished technophiles, not everyone who listens to your show has the same ability, as evidenced by the emails you have received and read on air. You have mentioned feature phones, skins which you incorrectly called feature phones, and have pretty much dismissed other potential solutions for people who have difficulty with the smartphone. I really don't understand that technology elitism.
Well, thank you, Greg. Straight to the point, Greg. Tech elitism. That's a new phrase I haven't heard before. Are we being elitists here by suggesting people should use smartphones?
I guess we should always preface all of our comments by saying, you know, this will be a really good solution for many people, or for some people, you know, because if we make sweeping comments, then we're always going to be open to that very valid criticism, I think. And maybe we have generalized in the past. You know, we can all think of people for whom a smartphone will be one step too far. And thankfully, there's a whole range of choices there, from things that are semi-smart to things that are talking versions of feature phones from the 90s. So, yeah, choice is good.
That almost verged into elitism when you just added from the 90s in there. That was a little bit guilty, was a little charged. Bit dismissive there, Mr. Christofferson.
Because if you just want phone calls and T9 texting, you can have it. So
yeah, but yeah, okay, Tim.
Wow. Well, I mean, I wasn't there for that particular episode, thankfully, apparently. But I hear
no mud on your shoes.
Yeah, I hear Mr. Priest's voice in my head saying, but wait, this is what's out there and it's the best way to use your phone and all the apps. And, you know, why aren't you just learning it? And, you know, I love Sean to death and I appreciate his opinions. But, you know, Greg in a way is right, because we can't just say, you know what, everybody has to use this. And if that's what Sean intended, I don't think that's exactly what Sean would have intended. I did hear the episode, and knowing Sean for as long as I have and the way that I do, that we all do, I don't know that Sean would have very purposefully or seriously would have said every single person out there, all of them have to have a smartphone if they want a phone at all. Even Sean would have to admit that there are use cases where, you know, people just don't want it, don't need it. And I think that if he generalized that, I don't want to speak for him, but I don't know that that would have truly been his intent. Maybe I'm wrong, possibly, but I don't know. But for me, yeah, like Robin said, we do have to be careful with sweeping generalizations like that, because there are people who don't want to use a smartphone or just can't use a smartphone, and they're more comfortable with something else. I mean,
I can't hold back. Why? Why is that the case? I get it that there are people who can't, physically can't. I get people who have challenges with motor issues, people who, for whatever reason, can't, you know, use a smartphone physically.
Correct.
I totally get all that. And for that reason, there are many other solutions, and actually there are adaptions that can be made to smartphones to make that possible. But somebody who's blind, someone who has vision loss, what is stopping them learning a smartphone? If it's just, and the thing for me is, if it's just a case of, I don't want to learn it, I'm not going to learn this, that's not for me, I'm just not doing it, then that's on you, right?
My mum, however much you could invest 60 hours worth of training, and she'll just about grasp the fact that Control R is the hotkey on Windows XP, which is what she's got, to reply to an email. She needs to have that repeated that many times. There will be.
That's a false equivalency, though, because you can't put Windows XP next to an iPhone. Come on.
I used to do a learning curve.
I tell you why I keep bringing this up, because I have been to and I took part in so many different events with RNIB over the last maybe 5-6 years. And I remember not long after the iPad came out, I went along and I took a laptop, and I can't remember what the other thing was. It was three things I took along, but I took a laptop along, and I took, I think, a Braille display, and I took an iPad. Now, a bit of a false equivalency, granted, with the Braille display, but, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing either, in fairness, at that point. But I put down the iPad, I put down the other laptop. Let's just say those two were there. Everybody in that room, everybody was in their 70s, in their 80s. They all gravitated to the iPad. Nobody touched the laptop. And everybody, almost everybody, figured it out. Without much of any instruction, you know, they picked it up, and I said, look, I made it very clear at the start. I said, look, if you pick up the iPad and you touch the screen, that's how you operate this, you can't break it. I mean, unless you physically smash it off the ground, you're not going to break this thing. So don't worry if you make a mistake. If you make a mistake, there's a button down there. It's called the home button. You just press that, it takes you back to the home, and you start again. And that was pretty much the only instruction I gave, and people got it. They got it instantly. And I'm not talking, I'm talking kids. I'm talking people in their 70s and in their 80s who totally got it. And
I think that's the thing. That's a good point, because there is a ease of learning curve, quite honestly, because it is easy to use, but there are people who just for whatever reason, can't wrap their mind around using it or just refuse to use it because they want to use what they want to use. And I get it. If that's the case, well, then that is, I hate to say, but that is on them. But that's true because it is them. It's they are making the choice not to use it. But that doesn't mean that it can't be used. For your example, you know, my grandma is going to be 84 years old here in a couple months. She has an Apple Watch. She has an iPhone. She has an iPad. And she uses them often for lots of things, you know, for email and texting and going on the internet and using eBay. And, you know, she plays her slot machine games and all these types of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, on her iPad. And she loves it. And I don't know that she would know what to do without it at this point, even though she lived most of her life without these kinds of things. So, you know, if my 84-year-old grandmother can do it, then I think anybody could. But there's a difference between us saying it is easy to use, it is easy to learn, give it a chance, and you will find that you love it, and there's a lot of things to do with it, and then saying, you know, everybody has to do it.
No. Exactly. And that's the two points that I would definitely go up against.
Yeah.
I've never said it's easy to learn. I mean, especially from a blind perspective. VoiceOver is a nightmare to get your head around. And it takes a
especially
lot.
Especially typing and editing.
Well, just even basic use. No, but even basic use. Before all that, just the swiping, learning and understanding the gestures, how to activate something. You know, once you get into the detail, you know, then you have other challenges. So it's a constant battle. It never really ends. Let's be frank about it. There's always a challenge. There's always something new to learn. There's always a new command. Look at how many times we've brought that up in the show. You've maybe said something, Robin. You've said something, Tim. And I've gone, I didn't know you could do that. And then suddenly we've all learned something. So that's one thing. The second point you made was about, what was the second point? You said ease of use, which I don't think it is that easy to use. I think it is challenging, but I don't think that should be a barrier. I think desire is the key here. You have to desire to do it. You need a reason. And if you're in a local group, if you're part of a society that's showing you technology, then really what the people who are training need to do is show the reasons why you might be interested in this. Because oftentimes that's what gets, when you realize that you can contact your son in Australia, you know, via the tap of a screen, that's when people get interested. You've got to give someone a reason to want to use this thing. Otherwise, it's pointless. So,
well, I think that's a really good point. I was listening to a podcast recently. Only wrestling fans would even know or care about this. But there's an old wrestling manager from back in the 80s and 90s named Jim Cornette. And he does a podcast. And he hates technology. He hates having to use it. And he just recently said on his show, once I retire and I'm not doing shows anymore, not doing this and that, I'm getting rid of the internet, getting rid of the computer. I'm going to have a plug-in phone in my wall, you know, landline. And that's it. Because I don't need this stuff. I don't want this stuff. And his co-host was like, but there's all these things you could use it for. And he was like, well, why? What would I want to use it for? And I'm screaming at my phone listening to this going, seriously? There's so many things to use this for that would help you and anybody else. And so, I mean, I could give you a list a mile long of things you could be using this for. And I think that's a perfect way to put it, Stephen, is that you've got to start from the idea of why you're using this. My grandma uses her stuff because 20 years ago I sat her down with a computer and when I had them buy a computer, her and my grandfather, and I explained to her, this is why you can use this. This is what you're going to get out of this.
Exactly.
You know, it's not just an overglorified typewriter. It can do more things. And she's learned to love it and uses it all the time. So I do think that the ease of use is maybe you're right. It's not as easy, but it's the idea that there's so many things you can do.
I think we're all agreed. We're all on that page, definitely. I think we just need to make sure that we don't leave this conversation with the implicit kind of message that anyone that hasn't managed to master a smartphone has made some sort of second, you know, poor decision, basically.
I've never said that. And that was exactly
Sean did.
I don't think he did, to be fair. Because interestingly, that conversation was more around using things like keyboards. I'm not entirely sure, Greg, what we were being dismissive of, because I honestly don't think we were being dismissive of anything. We talk about what we know here on the show. That's what we've always done. That's what we will always do. We will talk about what we know. And if you are a listener who's screaming at the radio saying, I could tell you so much about this product, be it Synaptic or Android or whatever it is, come on and talk about it. Just email in. Come on the show. You know, don't sit screaming at the radio. Scream at everybody else. Scream at us. And then everybody else can hear it. And that's the key, right? But yeah, I don't think it's about ease of use, and I don't think everybody has to learn it, or use it. But you know, just don't tell me that you are not using it. And the reason you've spent, you know, 700 quid on some other specialist piece of tech is because you frankly just couldn't be bothered learning how to use a smartphone. Because to me, that's you know, it's a waste of your money and it's a waste of your time. You could spend that time and invest less money in a product that will give you so much more long term. That's my take on smartphones. But everybody's entitled to what they want to do, right? And as you say, Robin, it's not about if you don't know how to use a smartphone or you don't want to use a smartphone that, you know, you're somehow lost out or you're secondary. It's not the case. Not at all. Just own it. If you don't want to use it, that's fine. I don't mind. I'm not going to come to your door and say, how dare you? I want you to use this iPhone. I'm going to spend the next 3 hours with you until you figure it out. That's not the case. But what I am saying is, don't hold back from it for fear, because I promise you it will give you so much more back over time. That's my take on it. Anyway, that's a lot longer than I wanted to go on that, but thank you, Greg, for the email, because it did open up a really interesting conversation. Thanks to Sean as well, I guess, for kicking it all off. We'll just blame him. I didn't get to our final email from Billy, which actually goes into a bit more detail on this, actually from Billy's point of view. He's on the other side of this argument, so we'll actually start the show off with that next week. We only get the hour, so that's all we have for you this week, but... just final thoughts, I guess, on the Apple event, because that is the big news. I guess that the iPhone is going to be an interesting product when it comes out. But frankly, in my view, I think we're all agreed on this, very incremental, not really massively revolutionary. But if you're going to this from an iPhone 11, as Rue was saying, and I think that's an interesting point Rue picked up earlier, most people aren't going from an iPhone 12. They're going from an 11 or perhaps an SE or an X, an XS or an XR. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And the Apple Watch, you know, again, incremental changes there, more design, more aesthetic. If you've got a Series 5 or a Series 6, you're probably not going to want to upgrade. And the iPad Mini was the star of the show. Bizarrely, the iPad Mini was the one thing that got us all excited.
Yep, the big surprise was the big star. Yep.
Next week, we're going to talk about Microsoft, because, of course, they've had a big event as well. Or we're having a big event actually this week, so we will look forward to telling you all about that. The event on the 22nd, we'll round up all of our thoughts on that. I have to say, I think for me, guys, that is the one I'm really excited about this month. What is Microsoft going to do with the Surface and the Surface Pro lineup? So we'll get into all that next week. And will that be my new PC? Oh, it's time. It's only been a week since I've bought a laptop, so, you know, come on. It's time to get a new laptop, I think. Which one will it be? For now, though, many thanks to my guests, as always. We've got Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Thank you.
Thank you all.
And Tim Schwartz from LifeAfterBlindness.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.